I got what I came for. After life's gone, but the fire kept me below. You get what you paid for.
Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. I'm with my guys DJ and Doug. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Gabe?
Nothing much.
All right, so Bills beat the Falcons. Whoopty hell. Got another whoopty hell opponent next week with the Jets in order to clinch the division. I don't really have much to say about that game against the Falcons, except for I am concerned about turnovers and this team's ability to play in this weather. We've been talking about it all year, kind of. Well, at least all winter type year. And even though they won, I think that was more so because the Falcons are just the Falcons. I mean, the playoff caliber team that they're going to play is not going to be the Falcons. So I am concerned about the turnovers in the winter environment. How do you guys feel about that? I'll start with DJ.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that we talk about it when we do talk about it, but we talk about, you know, playing down to the opponent's level. I mean, I feel like that's what we did. You know, Josh struggling early on in that game. I don't know. I mean, the two picks really weren't his fault, I guess you could say, tipped. But he's got to be smarter. I think he knows that. That doesn't concern me. What concerns me is, you know, kind of coming out flat against a not so good Falcons team. You know, especially when they lost Kyle Pitts with that hamstring or whatever. But I don't know. I don't like playing down to the opponent, and we definitely, I feel like we did. And if we do that against the Jets, it's going to be disappointing. Like, this is a game to get polished for round one. Like, this should be a playoff kind of game. The game plan should be come out and whoop some ass. And catch the Jets sleeping a little bit.
My take was that I think they might. I said a few weeks ago where they needed to fight the right offensive line combination to set things right and to make sure Josh Allen stayed protected. And I think they might have found it with Ryan Bates. He's been very underrated. Because they definitely had their best rushing game. They had 233 rushing yards. Devin Singletary had a big day, 110 rushing yards. A touchdown, and that is why he is Buffalo's best player of the week.
Yeah. He finally had a good game. I mean, I thought Deion Dawkins looked really good too. He was bouncing people all over the place. It was good to see him kind of look like him almost all. He pancaked a couple guys. He flattened a couple DBs. I mean, since that Patriots game, he's looked pretty good. He's looking like his mean old self. Maybe he's getting sick of people dogging on him for no reason.
It is unfortunate that Ryan Bates suffered that knee injury. It is day to day, so yeah. It's definitely not. So we need to just hope that it's not as bad as it seems, and hopefully that he'll be good for the last game and plus into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't want to have to roll with Cody Ford going in.
Because I think John Feliciano was officially the second string.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I'm not feeling super confident with either one of those guys in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Feliciano's been hit or miss all year, and Ford is just a trash can. So, yeah.
Doug, I don't want to shit all over your point about the line, and I don't want to take credit away from Bates or anything, but the Falcons are like the 30th ranked defensive line, so let's not get too cocky about that.
I know that.
it's fair. It's a valid point. So
no, I know that's. I'm pretty sure I said that last week. Where yeah, it worked. It worked 1 week, but that doesn't mean that it's going to work against a real team with a real defensive line like the Colts or even the and then the Pats, which we will get to playoff scenarios later. But that's looking like that it will be the matchup in the wild card and. We'll definitely get to that later.
All right, Gabe, I got a question for you. Are you concerned that Josh's probably his two worst games of the year have been against two of the worst defenses?
You mean like the Falcons and the Jags?
Yeah. Is that concerning that he can't play consistent against, like, what do you think? There's some kind of, I don't know what the word, like a mental lapse, or he thinks it's going to be too easy. Is it him? Is it the team as a whole? But I noticed that he's at his worst two outings this season against Jacksonville and Atlanta.
Can I answer this question?
DJ, I kind of want to reiterate something you talked about that, and it aggravates us though, that they have to get pissed off in order to win a game. I don't think the best teams are necessarily always pissed off. So it's weird to say, oh, well, now Josh is hyped up. Now he's good to go. Well, okay, you got to be, you know, like, you can't just beat a bad team based off of skill and, you know, proper teamwork. So yeah, it is frustrating. I wouldn't say it's him. I think it's maybe overall effort when they think they're playing a lesser opponent by the whole team. And I could be wrong. I mean, hell, what do I know? I'm not in the locker room. I could be dead wrong. I don't want to speak for them. But it's crazy to think he went on a tear in New England, you know, waving at the players and Stephon Diggs, you know, saying F you to, you know, the fans in the stands. They were hyped for that game. And I don't know if that game, winning that game was like, we wrapped up the division already, or, oh, we're back. Now it's just, we got 2 weeks off before the playoffs start because we're not getting a bye anyway, probably. So whatever seed we are is whatever seed we are. So, yeah, I think they easily fall into the comfort trap. That's my best guess.
I think it was kind of a miscue in my opinion, because, yeah, he did have the three picks. One was, I think Allen was playing hero ball. He was like trying to fit it into a wide receiver in the corner of the end zone, and he just didn't throw it high enough. And that was like a simple Allen move. The second pick was tipped. I'm pretty sure the third pick was tipped as well. But Allen was the reason why they got down the field. Allen was the reason why they were able to get down. He wasn't sacked once, and he was efficient when they had to be, plus had two rushing touchdowns. So I think you can definitely nitpick that all day long, but they took care of business in the second half. I really don't think it's anything to be worried about down the stretch.
Well, I think, though, to go off of that, though, whether or not the Bills win or lose, any production they have offensively is because of Josh. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think
it's not to say that he's not the reason.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the thing. Like, you know, I saw someone tweet out, you know, let's start Trubisky after that third interception. And it's like, you can't take good Josh or great Josh. He's not perfect. He's not going to, every throw is not going to be, you know, on the money. He's not going to not throw interceptions. It's just not. He's got that gunslinger mentality, and he tries to make a play. Like you say, hero ball. I hate that term, hero ball. Because it's just Josh being Josh. It's not a hero thing. It's just his instinct. And I don't know. You can't take the bad. And
no,
you can't forget about the great stuff he does because he throws a pick. I mean, after that third pick, they're like, sit him. Like, wait, what?
It's safe to say
you don't win at all.
That he is this generation's Brett Favre.
Oh, he's better than Brett Favre.
Well, he's what people think of when they think of Brett Favre.
I could kind of see it fits
well what you said. We're like, yeah, he's great in all these moments, but then there's just a couple bonehead moments. But I will say the bonehead moments are way less than what Brett Favre did, because in the beginning, Brett Favre was just he didn't even understand reading defenses. He didn't even know what a freaking nickelback was.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, exactly.
Josh Allen has a definitely higher high IQ, and because even that one pick, like, he just throws a little bit higher, and that's probably a touchdown because that wide receiver was wide open in the end zone, and it just wasn't it just wasn't high enough. And that happens. Like, it's a game of inches.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely not perfect, and he makes so many good plays. You can't put him like on the cross because he doesn't make every play. I just think that's not fair, and it's unrealistic. And I don't know why I see the same stuff every week that people are, when he does struggle, get him out of there, get him out of there. Like, it just seems, you like, you just can't, like, it could be so much worse. And if we had an O-line and run game, he wouldn't be sometimes forced to do these things. I think he does so much because he knows he kind of has to.
Another thing that concerned me was that, like, the whole reason why they got a lot of yards last week through the passing game was because they were giving it underneath to the running backs. Singletary had I can't remember the number, but he had a ton of receptions, and I think he had up to 50 yards. Don't quote me on that, but he had one target for 0 yards. Well, I think that was a good reason why they couldn't get anything, like, you know, like the receivers didn't have that great of a game. Like Diggs had 5 receptions for 52 yards. Davis only had 3 receptions for 40 yards. So it's, I feel like if they
like over 10 yards of reception,
what?
It's over like 10 yards of reception. That's pretty good.
No, I'm trying to say it probably would have helped inflate Allen's passing game if they were able to like give it to Singletary underneath.
The only reason we gave it to Singletary underneath against the Patriots and stuff was because there was no Cole Beasley. That's not normally the game plan. They're never going to rely on their running backs for catches.
I also think, though, with that, though, like the Cole Beasley thing is true, but I think with the Pats, they wanted to take whatever they could against them because you don't want to take a risk and cause a turnover. And I think the Pats were giving them the underneath stuff because they defended the deep ball so well. And the Bills, you have to take just what they give. You can't put it at risk. And against the Falcons, you say, okay, maybe we can take a little risk here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that. I mean, I don't think Singletary or Moss or Breda, for that matter, has the hands ability to be reliable.
Singletary has proved it. He's okay. I'm not saying he's like a freaking Aaron Jones type guy, but he's proven that he can catch. He's at least proved. They just had the sample size has been too low. Like, I'm not saying relying all the time, but like just take the yards. And they definitely did went away from that, but they should have at least implemented it to help with, because they really had a hard time moving the chains in that game.
Yeah, I mean, what happened with Singletary in the AFC Championship game when he was wide open? And Josh Brown, what happened to that?
That would have been a touchdown.
Would have been a touchdown. Would have changed the entire course of that game, potentially. I don't trust Singletary. And you guys know I've been pretty vocal about my Discord for Singletary. Like, I don't care that he ran for 100 yards. That should be expected. You're an NFL running back. You should be able to break 100 yards every so friggin' often.
Everyone does once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's going to end the year leading the Bills in rushing again because we don't have a running back on the team. I don't care what anyone says, that we don't have a running back one on the roster.
On the bright side, though, Singletary did pass Josh for rush yards on the year.
Until this week.
Yeah.
Until this week.
We can't just let one moment. I'm not saying that Singletary is going to be the RB1 of the future, but just because one moment happened doesn't mean that it's set fact in the future.
Yeah, he's dropped a couple balls that have been impact ones, though.
That's fair.
I'm not saying he's awful. I just don't trust him. If like I'm looking at other receivers before I'm looking down at these running backs is all I'm trying to say. I'm not, that shouldn't be part of their game plan. We don't have Marshall Faulk on our team. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get the guy underneath and these, like, great. It might work every so often, but it's not going to work.
It's going to
fail more often than you think.
It's just really weird because like Singletary has like weird, inconsistent flashes. I think we all agree that like the O-line is kind of a good factor and reason why the running backs aren't performing as well, or a reason why they suck more than they should. But Singletary has like moments of brilliance where like he breaks tackles, where he does all the shifty moves to get more yards after contact. But then other moments, it's like, if you're an NFL running back, don't you think you should just be fired? Like, you should be like, okay, let's try and do this all the time instead of just doing this. Like, it's, you'd think that they'd be more consistent doing it, because like it's really there are a lot of moments where he just gets stonewalled.
Yeah, and
it's really odd.
Yeah, and I think that's my point. Like, everyone gets excited when Singletary does something or, you know, breaks a big run. Like, he should be doing this far more frequently than he is. That's the point. Like, that's why Josh has to do what Josh has to do most games, because there's not a reliable back there. Moss fumbles here and there, you know. Singletary runs into his own guys more often than not. I don't know. It's something's going to have to give there. They're going to have to address that in the offseason, because I don't know if it's worth keeping either one of those guys around. I just don't. Those guys wouldn't start on any other team in the NFL.
Well, you know what you could do? The most logical and easier solution, instead of drafting a running back, you just build a $5 billion stadium.
100%. Yep. Don't address the O-line either. Just build a $5 billion stadium, so then you can run the ball more easier.
Yeah, stupid.
That's like, yeah, okay. I don't know. I've seen that on Twitter, and it's like, where's the there's no common sense.
Those are the same people that think if they, even if they decided to build a dome, it'd be ready by next season.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. No matter what happens, when they announce the PSLs, everyone's going to lose their shit. So it does not matter.
Hey, if a couple verified people tweet build a dome, that means a dome is going to be built like tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, anyone that wants a dome is soft. Pittsburgh doesn't have a dome. Cleveland doesn't have a dome. Seattle doesn't have a dome.
Green Bay doesn't have a dome.
Baltimore doesn't have a dome.
Chicago
doesn't have a dome. Like, fucking no other. I don't hear any other fan base.
Denver.
Moaning. Yeah, Denver. Lambeau Field. What's Lambeau's temperature? If they play at home this week, right?
Yeah, it was 10 degrees, but it felt like zero.
Okay.
Yeah,
this week it's going to snow and probably feel like -3. And not a single fan in Green Bay is going to piss and moan about a dome. And you have a guy who can play in the elements. Josh Allen can play in the elements. Aaron Rodgers can play in the elements.
He just he doesn't have the team to go along with him in the elements.
I actually think Denver to more of a degree because of the air quality too.
Higher altitude. Yeah, Kansas City. It gets shitty in Kansas City. I mean, these other fan bases aren't pissing. And like, could you imagine if Kansas City fans wanted a dome? Like, if they was brought up that they were gonna demolish Arrowhead.
Patrick Mahomes would have 6,000 passing yards in a dome.
They would flew shit. Arrowhead's an iconic stadium. You're not gonna build a dome. Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Just the minority speaking anyway. We know a new stadium's gonna be built, but it's gonna be outside.
If you want a dome, don't go to games. For real. Let the people that don't give a shit about how football is played. I am so done with this dome talk.
I'm surprised at people though. I really am.
It's soft. It's like the whole rest of the world. Everyone's soft. I'm coming for everybody today. I don't give a shit.
All right. Here and we go.
Wait until we start talking about Baker.
DJ's channeling his Antonio Brown. He's about to take his shirt off, walk out of the studio, flip me and Doug off and everything.
He does it every week.
It's probably true.
And lets out a big fart on the way.
Yeah, well, speaking of Baker, should we talk about Baker?
Why not?
Flip the script and
either talk about Baker or talk about the Jets, so it's up to you guys.
I do want to, can we talk about Joe Burrow for a second, though?
Oh, that guy's a freaking, I want to talk about Josh Allen got snubbed for, I'm not saying he didn't, but Joe Burrow got snubbed too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like, we don't normally talk about other teams like that we don't play or we don't cover, like, but Joe Burrow, I'm excited about this dude. Like, the Bengals are ahead of schedule. Me and Gabe talk about the Bengals all the time. Like, he's been a pleasant surprise coming off that injury, and he's fun to watch. He is, in my opinion, he is what the Browns thought Baker was going to be.
I was literally going to say that.
You going to steal my shit?
I was literally going to say that.
You gonna steal my shit?
I said that when he got drafted.
Yeah, that he is.
Did say that when Burrow got drafted.
That's what Burrow, in my opinion, is. He's gonna be. I can't wait to see an AFC Championship game with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. I really can't. Like, the Bengals are kind of fun. I mean, they got Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. What's that tight end? Uzma.
Yeah, Uzama. Yep.
Uzama, yeah. They're a fun team. Like, it sucks that they're in the AFC. I'd like them a little bit more if they were in the NFC. But
here's a question for you guys. Who do you think is comeback player of the year? Dak Prescott or Joe Burrow?
Burrow. I posted earlier, this will come out Friday, but I posted today, Tuesday, my list for awards for the NFL. And I thought Burrow could win the MVP. I think he has to be in the conversation. What he's done the last 2 weeks, throwing for 944 yards and what, 8 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. He did that against the Chiefs and who was the other team?
The Ravens.
Ravens. Banged up Ravens. But yeah, I mean,
still 500 is not easy.
No. And I think Dak probably gets comeback player. I think this would be based off Burrow winning MVP, of course. And, you know, I had people comment, you know, what about Rodgers? What about Rodgers? Probably going to sit out this week.
No, he isn't.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not. Well, not,
he's not. He
won't play the whole game.
I guess depending on his stat line, he could technically kind of eliminate himself from that conversation if he plays a quarter or two and doesn't do much, right? I mean, that's fair to think that.
Here's my opinion based off it. When you look at all the quarterback numbers, they're all so like similar that I think that there's really no quarterback that stands out from another quarterback. Like right now, the highest is Brady. Then everyone's like grouped around the 35 to 37 touchdowns mark. I actually think this could be the year where a non-QB wins it. Like Jonathan Taylor, like we said before, he already broke AP's record. And Cooper Kupp only needs like 80 yards or something like that to get 1,900 receiving yards. So I think if they look at all, okay, none of these QB numbers are okay, they're good, but they're not really standoffish like last year. Yeah, Rodgers throwing for 48 touchdowns, but
okay. So here's my thing with Cooper Kupp. He needed an extra game to break the record, right?
He even admitted that.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's humble of him to admit that, in my opinion. I think that's great. But he's not the MVP because of that. He's not even Offensive Player of the Year because of that. Jonathan Taylor, you're not gonna. He had a good season, but he's not. In my opinion, he's not the MVP. That team is so stacked top to bottom that you can't say he's more valuable or making that team. He's not the most valuable player on that team. That I would think that O-line or the defensive line would be more valuable than him on that team. You could put Marlon Mack in there. You could put Hines in there. They're going to run. They might not put up Jonathan Taylor numbers, but they're going to run. Well, that's why I think
he gets Offensive Player of the Year, though.
I think you're right. I think that's why I predicted Offensive Player of the Year. I do think what gives Burrow the edge is he's got 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns. You know, without him, the MVP, I don't give a shit about stats so much with the MVP thing because you can, like you said, the numbers are so similar that it's not. But in my opinion, the MVP is if you take that piece away, would they be that team? And if Cincinnati did not have Joe Burrow, we wouldn't be talking about the Bengals being division champs. Oh, you know, I just think that there's like Green Bay has a great team and it's not a knock on Aaron Rodgers. I think you could put somebody else there and probably have success.
And here's actually a reason why Brady shouldn't win MVP. Yeah, he has the most passing yards, has the most touchdowns, but the Buccaneers have the most amount of passing attempts and the least amount of rushing attempts. So, of course, he's going to have more passing yards because of the more attempts. So that is why
I think they've been trying to – I think they the whole year they're like, oh, we want him to win MVP.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, but that's the way that they should look at it, and that's the reason why that Rodgers is probably going to win it.
Because
his efficiency numbers are way over than what Brady's are.
But it is tough to win back to back, no matter what your stat line is. Most they don't do that very often. When's the last time there's been a back to back MVP? Peyton Manning? Did he ever win?
I don't know. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe
Peyton Manning, then Brett Favre before.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, I no matter what Rodgers does, I don't think it's him. It could be. I don't necessarily think it's
going to be
Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow makes a lot of sense because of what he means to that team. And he is a younger face. You know, you give it to Brady or Rodgers. Those guys are kind of old. They're on their way out. You give it to a guy who might be a face of the league at some point. You know, an up-and-coming guy coming off that big injury. I don't know. It's not going to be Burrow. But I think I can make a valid case that it should be Joe Burrow.
Here's what I think on that. MVP nowadays, as much as I don't like this fact, there's narrative has to be involved in it. Last year, Rodgers had the 48 touchdowns, and there was the whole thing with drafting Jordan Love. It was a slam dunk, boom. This year, I mean, I have no problem considering Joe Burrow as an MVP candidate, but I just know how the NFL thinks and works, so I think Brady and Rodgers will finish 1-2 just because of that. I really don't know why Rodgers is the favorite because Brady has more touchdowns, and usually that's just been the only qualification to win the MVP along with whatever narrative that's with it. I mean, I looked at the stats earlier. Like, Rodgers has a better completion percentage, less interceptions, and Brady has more yards and more touchdown passes. So it's whatever you decide is more important, but – I mean, I wouldn't mind considering Joe Burrow an MVP candidate at all. I mean, definitely should be a Pro Bowler at the least.
Burrow hasn't even been mentioned, but even though Allen did have that three interception, it needs to be looked at like how many touchdowns you have for the team, and Allen is still, I think, what I remember, third with the most because now he has over 700 rushing yards. He has the most rushing touchdowns of all the QBs.
He's second in touchdowns behind.
Oh, Brady. Yeah, to Jalen Hurts.
He's second behind Brady. Josh's got 40 total touchdowns. Brady's got 45.
So that's even, and Allen is, has been all of the team's yardage. So you can still make the case that Allen is still like the MVP, because like not only is he the best player on the team, but he's like the truly the most valuable. Where you, if any other QB is behind the Bills' offensive line, they're probably 4-12.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with
like,
that.
That's what it should be. Like the one year when Matt Ryan won MVP in 2016, I don't think it was, I mean, it was a great year, but if, but what Rodgers did for his team that year, he should have won it, because if any other QBs behind that that team, then they're like 4-12. While like the Falcons, well, that Falcons,
they were loaded.
They were loaded. They had the better O line, better running back, better receivers. Like put any other, if you put Alex Smith in that line, he probably throws for 35 touchdowns. Yeah. So,
Well, that's what I think. That's why I think Burrow really should be in this conversation as a finalist, because like his O line is not good. Remember the beginning off season, we talked about when we previewed stuff, we talked about the Bengals O line, how they should draft Sewell, and it's been a problem. I mean,
I was one of those people.
Yeah. So like,
yeah,
Burrow's doing stuff too behind a questionable offensive line.
Wait, Doug, you would rather, you're going to tell me right now that they should have still drafted Sewell over Jamar Chase?
No,
no. Technically.
No.
No, technically, if you look at from like a neutral gray point of view, yes, but obviously Jamar Chase was a way better pick, 100%.
No, we all thought it should have been Sewell, but I am 100% man enough to admit that.
I had a feeling it would have been Chase. I really did. I'm not just saying that.
I mean, those guys are going to be together for the next 10 years now. So
that is a generational receiver with a quarterback that he already has a connection with. That's not going to happen again to where it clicks just like that. No. I want to ask you guys about one guy who he's kind of overlooked now because his name is kind of like, so like he's the first person you think of, so therefore you shouldn't mention him at all. But has Mahomes fallen off? Is he still an MVP candidate? Or are we still like what we talked about where it's like, oh, we're just used to it now, so it's really nothing glamorous or nothing to really be impressed with?
I think I've told you this, but I think Mahomes has kind of like hit his ceiling. And again, when I talk about ceilings, it's not a knock on a guy. I think
it's a very high ceiling.
Yeah, I think that Mahomes, you kind of almost are comfortable with what he does. So now it's expected and not this flashes of greatness, so to speak. So he doesn't stick out as much anymore. And I have to think it's because of the younger guy like Josh Allen and the Joe Burrows of the world that are even Kyler that are doing these things to kind of make you forget almost about Patrick Mahomes. Plus the Chiefs haven't been playing great. I know that they're like the one or the two seed right now, but like, yeah, I don't know. Mahomes has been quiet. You haven't heard much. And it's because I think he's just going through the motions and doing what he does. You know, with Patrick Mahomes, you're always going to have a shot at the championship. You're always going to be in the playoffs. You're always going to be these things where it's like, you know, unless he does something absolutely stellar, you don't really put him in an MVP conversation anymore. I think he's going to just be that guy that could potentially be there depending on what happens. If he makes a spectacular play or he throws 50 touchdowns. I don't know. I think Mahomes is kind of just going to be there now. And it's the expectation is that's why he's going to just kind of be there.
And maybe to be fair, you can make the case that Mahomes doesn't really care about the MVP as much, because all he cares about now is winning the championships. Yeah, I won my MVP. I won a Super Bowl and I wanted to win another Super Bowl. So now he's like, I'm not going to try. And I know that no quarterback stat pads. I'm not saying that at all, but he's just going through the motions and doing what he does best until to get to the point where he can win another Super Bowl. So just to follow that up on DJ's point.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, when you look at how he started, you know, benched his first year, no one knew what was going to happen. Threw 50 touchdowns, won MVP, almost got to a Super Bowl, then won a Super Bowl. Obviously, those are good things, but in a way – I mean, obviously, if you ask him, would you want to end up any other way, he would say no, and he shouldn't. But is it almost bad that he had that much success in his first two, like, starting seasons, like MVP followed up by Super Bowl? So in order to – well, you can always win a Super Bowl if you just – I mean, if you win, but in order to win MVP, you have to like top not only the other guys, but all your other accomplishments, because Mahomes' biggest threat to the MVP now, I think, is himself, because a guy could have lesser stats, but because they're not Patrick Mahomes, who has an MVP and a Super Bowl, they're going to give it to him instead. And like you were saying, like he's not playing that well, but they were like the one or the two seed. Like to say that, and I'm not saying it's all him either. Like there's Andy Reid, there's other factors involved, but Like, to say that you can comfortably be the one or two seed, even in like an off-ish year, I think says a lot about him as a player.
Yeah. And well, and that goes back to the point too, of where we talk about where it's hard to repeat as MVP. Cause you almost have to outdo yourself to win that back-to-back MVP. It's why it doesn't happen very often. That's why I don't think that it could be Aaron Rodgers. I go to the original point. Like, I just don't, you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. Like, Mahomes, that literally has to outdo Mahomes to win an MVP. And that's going to be hard to do because he set the bar so high, so quick, so early. Yeah, I mean, Dan, to your point, yeah, like that's he is. He's going to have a freakishly good season to ever win an MVP probably again. Or he's going to have to be the best out of everybody that's sucking, like if everyone else is having an off year.
And do you know who is like the least MVP of all the quarterbacks? Baker Mayfield.
Well, I was just going to say that. I swear to God.
Were you really?
Yeah, because I was like, I was going to bring up how we were like, guys, you want to talk about Baker? And then we started talking about the MVPs. So I was going to say, like, how did we get to MVPs from Baker Mayfield?
No, that's how. It came back in full circle.
This portion of the episode is sponsored by Premier Cigars, the Premier Cigar Lounge in Buffalo, New York, 1327 Jefferson Avenue. Put some smoke in the air.
I'll start off the question. So what do you guys think about Baker, you know, him being out?
I mean, we talked about this before we recorded. We should have recorded it. But like Baker is, he is what he is. He's at his ceiling. He's not any better than how he's playing. I do think he needs to be reset. I don't think he's a Cleveland Brown quarterback next season, but I do think that he is what he is. He shouldn't have been taken first overall. So you got the expectation of the first overall pick. He can only take you so far. I mean, that team, let's be honest, that team's pretty stacked. Really good offensive line. They have weapons on offense. They have one of the best running attacks in the league. Defensive line is very good. They have really good corners. They have really good linebackers. I mean, safeties. The team top to bottom is roster-wise is impressive.
And all they're missing was a quarterback.
And I don't think Stefanski's the problem. I think Stefanski's a pretty good coach. I don't think he's, you know, the best, but I think he's a pretty good coach. I think their weak link is Baker. I think that Baker is what Baker is, and it's not, you know, a negative thing. I think he's an NFL quarterback, but he's only can do so much. You know, he's not the fastest guy. He's not the tallest guy. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He doesn't have the greatest vision. He's limited on what he can do. Yeah, he was really good in college, and and his college accomplishments are incredible. He's one of the best college quarterbacks to play, and it just sometimes doesn't translate to the NFL. And I think that for Baker and the Browns, I think moving on after the season makes a whole lot of sense.
I don't think for me, in regards to number one pick, he can call him that. He's definitely a disappointment, but I don't think he's a bust by any means. Because especially like the year before, he was like, he won the Heisman. His accuracy was all there, but it just did not work out with the Browns.
Okay. So my question to that, because we talked about this before we recorded, is my question to you then, if he's not a bust, what would it be? Because like we talked about how I said that if he didn't get his second contract with the team that drafted him, you'd have to consider him a bust. And right now he's probably not getting that second contract. So what would you say to that? Because how do you classify him as not a bust when he's probably not going to get a second contract with the team that drafted him first overall?
Because when you think bust, you think Josh Rosen. When you think bust, you think a guy that's like off the team in like 2 years. And that's happened before. Josh Rosen, Jamarcus Russell. What's another guy? Paxton Lynch. Leaf. Those guys are busts. Those guys never they didn't even make it to year two or three with their team. Baker, on the other hand, proved that he does have a floor and ceiling. Like I would right now, I'd say that he's better than Alex Smith. He's better than Kirk Cousins. I think he can be comparable with Derek Carr, even though we just talked about this. You guys don't think so.
No.
But I think he can be compared to Derek Carr in regards to, like, he was able to do stuff with his team and actually put up okay numbers, but he's not, I don't think he's a bust. A bust is someone that that is like, okay, this was a terrible pick, get him off the team. That's what a bust is. He's just a disappointment.
Let me say this though. First, thank you for stealing my point from before we were recording. About me saying he's a bust for a number one pick, but not an NFL bust. That was my, for everyone, for all three of you listening, that was my original quote.
He's not a bust.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's a bust of a player, like what we agree on. But yeah, he's not a number one pick and shouldn't have been. I mean, if we're going back in time, Josh Allen theoretically is the number one pick of that draft. And if he's a Brown, I don't know how things work out with that. And that's just how the NFL works.
Yeah, he's not Josh Allen.
The best quarterback of all time was drafted 199, and if he wasn't a Patriot, he would in 2005 his career would have been over. Yeah. And that's just what the NFL is. And yeah, but so look at some of the quarterbacks that are making the playoffs, and let's look at the AFC. You have Patrick Mahomes, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen. You have Carson Wentz, Mac Jones, who else is it? Justin Herbert, and who else is in it right now? Who am I missing?
Burrow.
Okay, right. Obviously, we just spent half hour talking about him. Who of those can you ever say Baker would be a? Because usually the best quarterbacks make the playoffs. Like the best seven quarterbacks make the playoffs. Is Baker ever a top seven quarterback in a conference?
No.
That's an honest question.
No. Because if Lamar wasn't hurt, the Ravens would be in. So no.
Yeah, and I mean. You could say, oh, well, Mac Jones. Yeah, that's true. But again, there's kind of an unfair advantage. He does have Belichick, and you might, I guess that's not fair if you're comparing quarterbacks, but that is the one unfair advantage to the Patriots is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I don't think Baker is better than Derek Carr either. So that's another team that didn't even make the playoffs, but I would still put ahead of Baker.
And Mac Jones is a rookie. Could you see, is it impossible to say that Mac Jones in 2 years could be better than Baker?
Oh, yeah. He also could turn into Baker. He could also turn into Baker.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, Mac's future is kind of in front of him. Yeah.
Mac Jones, if anything happens with Belichick along that way, you could say that Mac Jones could have a ceiling that isn't that high.
Well, I think with or without Belichick. I think with or without Belichick, his ceiling is not that high, but it's having him that makes it work.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't, and even if you go over to the NFC, I don't know if Baker's a top seven quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah, you got Brady, Rodgers, you have Stafford, Dak Prescott, Murray. Stafford, Kyler Murray. And then after that, it's kind of top heavy in the NFC. But after that, then you're talking Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Jalen Hurts, and then Russell maybe Wilson. If Trey Lance works out. Oh yeah, Russell Wilson too, depending on where he goes next year.
I'm going to sum this up. Baker is just the mediocre quarterback. He's like number 16.
Yeah. Average. And again,
he's 16.
And this is not like, I don't think we're like making fun of Baker.
Actually like him.
I think he has a competitive fire in him. I think his athletic ability limits him on what he can do. And I don't know, no matter what team he's on, I don't know if he's going to walk into a better situation than the Browns. The roster's built for him to have success. So where does Baker go from here where he can like reignite the fire or, you know, prove the haters wrong or, you know, find his groove again? Because like it's there. I think we all agree that he's an NFL quarterback. It's just a matter of like I said, hitting the reset button, getting into the right situation. Maybe he has to do like what Trubisky, you know, did. Maybe he gets traded to a team and sits behind a guy. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing to happen to Baker. I think there is a talent level there. I don't think he ever wins a Super Bowl. I don't think he ever gets a team to a Super Bowl. But
here's my take on this. When Baker is healthy, he is a decent quarterback. He had 25 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. That's solid numbers. But this year he was hurt. Like, it's not like he just sucked. Like, he did have injuries. So I think he was out because they want to heal up that shoulder, and then they are going to give him one more year. They're going to just see what happens. And then after that, then they move on and then do that. It's really going to depend. Next year is officially the final tryout for him or else, because Baker has proven that he can be the guy to make those big plays. He's proven that he can have those solid plays to get them over the edge, but it's just coming down to just that guy, very inconsistent. So he's going to have one more year to maybe prove himself.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think this offseason they trade him. I think they get rid of him. $19 million. If they're already sure that he's not the guy, because they picked up that fifth year option to kind of maybe see, and then, so that it looked like they had confidence in him going forward. But I think there's a team out there. There will be a quarterback needy team: Pittsburgh, Houston, potentially Miami. There'll be a team. Seattle, there'll be a team out there that needs him, that will give up, you know, not too much to get it. You're not going to have to give up much to get Baker, I think, in my opinion. I think it's a couple picks, couple day two picks, and it's probably, you're probably getting them.
I think that I don't think they would give up on him for a rookie so much, but I think if they could package him for Russ or Watson, depending on how Watson's other issues go, I think that's when they, you know, cut loose with him. I don't think they would necessarily do so for Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh or whatever his name is.
Or Carson Strong from Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair. I get, but there's going to be free agents out there too, guys. There's Trubisky's going to be a free agent.
You really think that the...
I wouldn't sell out on Baker for Trubisky. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, thank you.
Well, who else is going to be?
I don't...
There's a couple other ones I thought I saw. Maybe not, but... I think he gets traded, but that's just my opinion. I think
it's not that great. Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's probably going to retire. So never mind. Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston. None of these guys I would definitely give up Baker for a free agent. Not even close. No. When Baker's healthy, they're still in games. So I think they're going to get them one.
I think with the right scenario, they would, but they wouldn't do it just for anything.
Yeah.
Like my point is you've seen what he can do with this roster. So like, what else do they need to see from him?
Yeah. And I mean, I give you the injury. I really do. Like, it's clearly an effect. I'm not going to say it's nothing. I'm playing with, I give him credit for playing with.
In my opinion, I think he really wanted to prove himself for that second contract. Okay. If I get hurt, then like there's going to be no tape on me. Then like the Cleveland's not going to know what to do. So he wanted to at least put something out there to show that he can be liable. That is why he played hurt the entire year.
I was going to say, I actually have two questions. If he doesn't have Chubb and Hunt, what does he look like? Like, let's say if he's 40 pass attempts a game and maybe 10 rush attempts a game, if that, from running backs. And also, how would you compare him, let's say, to Jameis Winston, another number one pick who didn't live up to what he was drafted for?
Yeah, I mean, you take away Chubb and, you know, Hunt, and I he can't throw the ball 40 times a game. He just, that's not who he is. At a college level, he can do that, but not at the NFL level. And I think to answer the Jameis thing, I mean, if I had to pick a quarterback between the two, if they're standing side by side and I had to pick one, I'd honestly flip a fucking coin. I don't know if there's a huge discrepancy between Baker and Jameis. Honestly, Jameis has athletic ability. He threw 30 plus touchdowns. I mean, he also threw 30 picks, but he has ability, and he could have been a product of bad coaching and all that. You could say the same thing about Baker. Freddie Kitchens could have ruined Baker. We don't know, but I think that if push came to shove and someone said, you got to take Baker or Jameis, I'm flipping a coin. Because not one of them would stick out above the other one for me.
Like a real,
I agree.
If I had a real coach, it looked better with Sean Payton.
Yeah, I agree.
Baker is not a franchise quarterback. He needs to be in the right situation. Like, he needs a very good offensive line in front of him, and he needs to have, like, not a top 10 running game, but at least like a top half running game, like 15th or above.
But he has that.
I know he has that, but he was hurt this year.
He wasn't hurt last year. And then he got bounced decent. In the playoffs, right?
He was decent. He didn't
put his numbers close to the AFC. They were this close to playing the AFC Championship in Buffalo last year. I got to say that.
Thank you. They were in a stacked division. Steelers were really hot last year. Ravens were also really good. They almost beat Baltimore. Like, I'm not okay. Yeah, you can make the case that Baker could maybe put up better numbers with that. 100%. I'm not throwing that off. But what I'm trying to make the case here is that he can at least put up substantial numbers where he can put you over the hump. Okay. Honestly, if you're a good quarterback in the NFL, you need up to like 25 to like 29 touchdowns. That is a good year. In regards to that. And then the MVP guys like Burrow, Rodgers, they have 30 plus. If you get to that 25 to 29 range, like Derek Carr, like Kirk Cousins, if you have a good team around you, you can absolutely win the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this. If you're a team in whatever division you're in, what's your main goal? What advantage what's the number one advantage you want to have over at least the other teams just in your division?
Wait, ask that again. I'm going to edit that. Make sure
you
hear that.
No matter if you're the manager of a team, no matter what division you're in, what's the one advantage you want over at least the other teams, the other three teams in your division? What's the one roster advantage you want more than anything?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
Best quarterback. Best quarterback. Okay. Let's go to the AFC North. Who's the best quarterback in the AFC North?
Lamar. Joe Burrow.
Or Burrow.
Who's the second best?
Lamar.
Okay, so, and then I know Big Ben's retiring, so I guess that doesn't really even count.
Well, you say Big Ben now, though.
Okay, so if you don't even have the second best QB in your division, are you winning a Super Bowl?
No, never.
That's what it is.
Never. It is what it is. It literally is what it is.
I need my man's Trent Duffer to come out of the woodworks.
That'll never happen again.
I know it won't happen again.
That defense was incredible. That'll definitely never happen again.
I know it was.
The defense will never be that good again.
Never. Not in today's NFL. It won't be.
I know it won't happen again, but no, I see your point. I see your point.
I mean, you can do that, like to Gabe's point, you can do that in every division. And if you can't name the top two quarterbacks, you got no shot.
Really? Go through every division winner. Most of them have the best quarterback. AFC East, Josh Allen, best quarterback. AFC West, Patrick Mahomes. I know it's close with Herbert, but I'd still give Mahomes the edge. Best quarterback. AFC South, I guess Tannehill by default.
No, you can make the case. You can make the case that Carson's better than Tannehill. It's just Tannehill.
I mean, it's a flip. I mean, their records are close, and the Colts got hot after they played the Titans twice. But it's a flip of a coin. But AFC North, Joe Burrow, best quarterback. NFC North, Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback. NFC South, Tom Brady, best quarterback. NFC East, Dak Prescott, best quarterback. NFC West, Matt Stafford, and then Kyler. You know the Cardinals are close behind.
Division.
I know it is, yep. And I guess this is an outlier for Russell Wilson because he's usually in that conversation. But Seattle's just too bad to compete with those rosters. But most 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 8 are best quarterback.
Baker has a chance in the NFC East.
No,
he has an absolute chance in the NFC East.
Wait, say that again. What?
If Baker's in the NFC East, then he could maybe compete because
why? Jalen Hurts is good.
Oh my god! Because
he could compete. He could compete for second best.
Yeah,
he can. Yeah, he can compete with Dak and Jalen.
No! I said he could compete for second best.
Yeah, he's not better than Dak. Get out of here with that.
I mean, here's another. I mean, look at just to think when you look at the NFL, there's only 20 guys who can play the quarterback position successfully in the NFL.
Not even 14.
It's a very small number. Yeah. And the fact that Baker is just the small outlier out of that number is just incredible. And he's not terrible. He's just not great.
On your list, he's an outlier. I would say he's anywhere from 20 to 23 ranked quarterback out of 32 teams.
I'd say on a good day, he's like 18th.
Yeah. I mean, that's not playoff. That's not a playoff caliber quarterback. It is what it is, you know? Again, I don't personally hate Baker. I think he's got a really good competitive fire. I just don't think that Baker is it. I just don't. If I have to pick a quarterback in the league to start my team with, I'm not picking Baker Mayfield.
Well, okay, fine. You can put here's my final argument for Baker Mayfield. If Baker's puts a team around him just like that, and he goes on a miracle run in the playoffs, they can absolutely he's like Joe Flacco. There we go.
No, Joe Flacco's elite.
Oh,
are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, you can't disagree with John Elway. That's a Hall of Famer, bud.
Yeah. He wasn't even in his prime in 2018.
Joe Flacco was pretty. It was when I would take Joe Flacco's prime versus Baker.
Joe Flacco was never that good. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
He was no. Look at his numbers. Wait, look at his numbers. Never in that elite quarterback.
I can't wait to tweet this after we record. I'm gonna post his fucking numbers.
I mean, you could argue,
he was never in that elite quarterback. He just did what he did to win.
I'll say this. He had one of the hottest postseasons ever.
Thank you.
And that was most of it, but that postseason was pretty freaking epic. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Baker can absolutely do that.
Baker cannot do that.
I think he could do that.
Baker cannot do that. There's no.
I'm sorry. Doug, no, listen. Watch some Baker of the highlights from that Denver game. Some of those throws, you call them lucky, but holy shit. That's one of the best games I've ever watched to this day.
No, that is a great game.
Baker can't do that. I'm sorry. Derek Carr has a better shot of doing that shit.
But what did Joe Flacco do after that Super Bowl?
It doesn't matter.
Nothing.
It doesn't, but does it matter?
He was never really that guy.
He won a Super Bowl.
His best year was 2014, and the Baker, rest was mediocre.
Baker will never even go to a Super Bowl, ever. He will never be in one, ever. Ever. Mac Jones will be in a Super Bowl before Baker Mayfield.
Mac Jones?
Joe Burrow will see a Super Bowl before Baker Mayfield. Josh Allen will see a Super Bowl before Baker Mayfield. Baker will never take a team to a Super Bowl, ever. I'm sorry. It is what it is. He's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. His ceiling isn't that high. Huh?
Justin Herbert, you could put in there.
Yeah.
Can you make the case for Trevor Lawrence?
Maybe if they can fix that shit. Yeah.
I think I'll say this about Trevor Lawrence. This has been a shit rookie year, but the Jags are an absolute mess that I don't think even like a Hall of Fame quarterback, if you just inserted them, could fix.
Trevor's gonna be okay.
I'm not saying he is or will be Peyton Manning, but his rookie season was a complete shit show.
I'm not ready to get it.
I can't see how Trevor just sucks or just doesn't know how to play football. Like all of a sudden, like that's fixable. And
it is gonna be interesting who their coach is gonna be.
I mean, they're probably gonna. I think it's gonna be Byron Leftwich.
I heard no. They interviewed Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, I swear to God, I think I follow the Jags a little bit. You guys know that. I think it's going to be Leftwich. I think it's going to come full circle. He's going to come back, be that coach, and he'll help develop Trevor into an NFL quarterback.
I think it's either him or Peterson.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jim Caldwell was also interviewed.
Yeah, don't think it's going to be him. It just makes sense for Leftwich to be the guy in Jacksonville. He has had success in an NFL level. And he can help develop Baker or Trevor into he can kind of fix the shit that Urban might have fucked up. And I think that it just makes sense. He has history in Jacksonville. He's familiar with the organization, and he's been successful in Tampa as the offensive coordinator. And I just think it makes sense. I think I honestly do. I think Byron Leftwich will end up being the guy in Jacksonville. And I think I'm excited. I think it's a pretty good shot right there.
You bring up an interesting topic, though. So who else do we think – well, I mean, there are some obvious ones, but who else do we think is looking for another coach, and who do we think it could be? I think, like, Chicago is up there for sure. I mean, that's Denver. The most definite one.
Denver, Minnesota.
Minnesota all of a sudden, yeah, they're up there. Do you think Houston, or do you think they just keep that guy until
– I did hear he's on the hot seat.
I think they keep him. There's no hurry. They're going to be in trouble for a little bit.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're gonna be crap, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Russell goes, Pete Carroll's done.
Yeah,
you can make the case that if both of them leave, Seattle's like one of the most unattractive places to go.
Probably.
Oh, absolutely. Russell Wilson got there, no one gave a crap about Seattle.
I could see. Let's see. Bieniemy's gonna get a job for sure from Kansas City. Maybe.
And hopefully. Yeah, freaking finally.
Yeah, I think he deserves a shot. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach, but I think he deserves a shot. I think you're going to see maybe Peterson get back in the game. Potentially see Caldwell getting back in there. I think
Leftwich, like you said.
Leftwich, I think, is going to get a shot. I think Dable stays. I don't think he's going to get a job.
Maybe Leslie Frazier.
Maybe, but he Leslie just said that no one's asked him for an interview yet. So there was reports that he was getting asked, and he said he hasn't gotten asked at all.
Maybe I feel like Mike Zimmer is going to get another job somewhere.
Maybe
he'll get something.
I think he's going to get defensive coordinator job.
Are the Giants going to move on from Joe Judge?
No, they're keeping.
They said they're going to give it one more year.
Man. Then what do they do with Daniel Jones? That's crazy. That's going to be a weird situation.
They said they're going to give that whole regime like one more year.
Jeez.
That's rough.
I mean, you might as well, because there's not really a factor quarterback in this draft unless it's like a hidden talent thing. So it's really.
What about Carolina? Does Rule
leave? Also, yeah, I've heard rumblings that Matt Rule might get fired.
Yeah, that's
pretty rough.
I wonder, after what happened in Dallas with Washington, like those two players fighting on the sideline and getting blown out like that, if Rivera gets put on the hot seat if he lost a locker room at all.
You could say Arians too. Arians has been known to retire for health issues. He could do it again.
No, that's not going to happen.
Why?
It's funny you bring that up because he comes out and says Antonio Brown is no longer a Buck. They have not officially released him. And if they do, by the time this episode comes out, I'm sorry, we record this on Tuesdays, as I've said before. But they have not officially released him. So if he says that and then they're like, nah, never mind, that's going to be very, very
awkward. What's
the right word? Kind of emasculating for Bruce Arians. Yeah. The NFL doesn't just expel him. Like,
yeah, they should. You embarrass a shield, you're gone. Like, that's – he shouldn't play again, honestly.
And you can make the case for all the mental health stuff, but what if he's just an asshole?
Well, it's a pattern of asshole behavior. So you can totally make the argument.
Probably.
And it's not, I mean, it's definitely not fair to sit here and say it's CTE and all, like, we don't know his situation. The people close to him would know that. So I don't like to joke about mental health. You know, you guys
joke about it either, but like, he's just been a dick.
Yeah. I think that's more alarming than the potential mental health stuff. I think that there has been a pattern of behavior that hasn't lined up with a superstar player in the NFL. You don't see other guys doing these things. So I don't think he deserves another shot just because of that. You know, besides the potential issues going on inside of him, I don't think he deserves another. He's gotten 4 shots in the last 2 years.
When is enough is enough, though?
Yeah. He lived with Tom Brady and he quit on him.
Yeah.
When is enough enough? He's gotten so many shots.
You want to say, okay, well, he lashed out on Sunday. Maybe there's something deeper going on. He follows it up with dropping like a rap single, and then he goes courtside at the Brooklyn Nets game.
Like, I think
help your case here.
Yeah, I think the most telling thing too was like Mike Evans is a pretty good guy from what what we know, and he went over and tried to like get him to stay and to calm down a minute. And if Mike Evans is trying, he's trying, and that's just AB being an asshole and quitting on his team, whether he was injured, whatever the argument was about, it doesn't matter. I mean, he was going to get a bonus. Everyone's saying, you know, it was the Buccaneers doing it because of the bonus he was going to get. The dude gave up $30 million because he didn't want to wear a helmet. You think he gave a shit about $1 million bonus?
And they were telling him to go in the game. Like, Brady was going to get him his incentives. Like, they were going to do it.
Yeah, he had like 8 catches or 5 catches already in that game.
Yeah.
5, I think.
It's just an enigma.
It's frustrating because he could have been an all-time great, and because of all this shit that's happened in the last 2 seasons, he's never going to get that accolade, and he should have.
Well, once he's done, they'll make sure like no one's ever talking about him again. Like, he'll never be a candidate for the Hall ever, despite his numbers.
And isn't that crazy? It's like unfortunate. It is unfortunate.
Yeah, Antonio really Brown is. 4 years ago was like the best wide receiver in the NFL and wasn't even close. Like, he was the number one guy in 2017-18. And he's just because of the downhill from the injury from 2015, like him just like his character showing, it is a huge disappointment because he was like the number one wide receiver, and now he's just nothing now.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. I think of Pittsburgh back then with, you know, AB, Big Ben still in his prime, and Le'Veon, and was Hines Ward there still? I mean, like.
No.
Okay. No. I don't know. Who's the other guy? Who am I thinking of then? Who's
Martavius Bryant?
Martavius. Yeah. I mean, that was a fun team. Like, they were good. Le'Veon was exciting to watch. AB could score at any given moment. I mean,
Chris Boswell.
Yeah. It sucks because he was a good guy you wanted to see do well.
Let me ask you guys, though. Like, do you remember, like, when he was in Pittsburgh, like, you didn't hear much about him personally? I don't know what was going on internally. There obviously could have been, but it didn't. There was nothing really public about him in like this light, and all of a sudden, like, things just went nuts.
Yeah, it was really weird. Everyone jokes that it's because of the Vontaze Burfict hit, and maybe it is, but like, it's not fair to say that. But yeah, I mean, something happened because even you heard Arians and Tom Brady, and I think somebody else on the Bucs said it too after the game, was like, I hope he gets the help he needs. So clearly they're aware of something going on. And hopefully the Bucs don't, you know, what he did was shitty and it was a bad teammate and all this stuff. But if the guy needs that kind of help, like, if we can prevent another Junior Seau, like, hopefully the Bucks help the guy and point him in the right direction, because it could be a sad situation where we just don't know about it.
But to follow up on Gabe's point, like, he was a man that really came from humble beginnings. Like, he was a 6th-round pick from the MAC, Central Michigan. He was only a punt returner, and it took him like 4 years to become what AB became, what he was supposed to be. Like, he fought for everything that he did.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've even watched earlier interviews. Like, he was like all class. He was like, he was humble. He was like there for us. He was like really like he was a teammate for us. He was like a locker room guy too.
Maybe this is who he's associating himself with once he became superstar AB. I mean, you can be guilty by association with hanging out with the wrong crowd. That does happen.
Absolutely. Well, 100%. I remember, that's why it makes it more of a tragedy, because like he was honestly this really humble, great guy. Then it unfortunately unfolded like a movie where humble beginnings turning into like superstardom arrogance.
Well, I remember when the whole Le'Veon Bell thing with his contract was going on, and Antonio Brown was obviously a part of that Steelers team. He was the one trying to like defuse the situation and be the peacemaker and all of it. I remember.
Yeah.
So he was like, there was a point in time where he was like the good guy, like trying to be the team guy and, you know, fix things.
Yeah.
And this is, I want to say that we are by no means, I think I can speak on us with like, we're no means defending Antonio Brown's shitty behavior and shitty.
No.
Like, I've seen people defend him like, no, we're not defending him. I think it's an unfortunate situation that we're aware of, and we're never human pieces, and here we are.
Well, I think you have to look at it like, first, okay, you could take the action, like the initial reaction to like what he did, and laugh at it a little bit, because it is, I mean, the action in itself was funny in the moment. Like, let's not lie to ourselves. It was in the moment. It was funny. But then you want to, when you look at the why, yeah, it's inexcusable. No one should ever do that. You just embarrass the team. You embarrass the NFL. You put that image out there. There's kids watching, yada, yada, all that stuff. It's inexcusable. Probably shouldn't play again. But at the same time, don't just leave this guy out to, I hate to say the word die, but in this case, it very well could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly he's got something going on, and you want to make sure you help him. This would be a shitty look for the NFL if AB ends up in a bad situation. I'm not gonna go any further than that. I think that's fair. It would be a very bad look for all this to happen and AB not work out in things. So
I 100% agree on this take.
The NFL, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just bring us back to present day.
last thing I want to say, the NFL, whether or not Antonio Brown has his issues with it, it gave him structure, it gave him a home, it gave him family, and, you know, gave him something to do, you know, to not do other things. If he's just out there, like, just doing whatever on his own time, not working, not to say he's going to get bored and do something stupid, but, I mean, if he's just in his own head with nothing to do, it could be dangerous.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is going to be a learning moment, and to see where the NFL has come with their support of their ex-player, their alumni. I mean, the NFL has been shit on for a long time by alumni, saying that the NFL stops paying medical bills. They stop doing this. They stop doing that. They don't support their players once they're done. So if AB is done, he clearly needs some kind of help. I hope the NFL doesn't turn a cold shoulder because of his recent behavior. I hope the NFL does the right thing in this case. And, you know, because I don't want to see a headline where AB is dead. I mean, no one should go that route. So
NFL has been promoting their mental health services. So hopefully they come up with a game plan, create a strategy, and hope to be able to help out not only Antonio Brown, but other players who are in need, because there are other players who have spoken out, like Dak Prescott has spoken out, Hayden Hurst. So I think it's going to be time where they can actually, the NFL has the opportunity to make themselves like not just look good, but just show that they really are there for the players who are struggling.
Yeah. I said, this is a very important moment for the NFL going forward. This could be a turning point for the league and how they handle these types of situations. Cause you know, mental health has become such a big thing outside of sports as well.
100%.
The NFL needs to figure it out and be supportive, because the public eye is on them so much that they got to do the right thing. And I think they can, and I hope they do. I mean, we know, I didn't expect us to go here with AB, but here we are.
No, like even mental health during the pandemic too, like all the people where they've had like increase in like mental health symptoms over the past year. So like the NFL, like bunting down on that and bringing it to that level, that's honestly the most important thing right now.
Yeah. All right. So let's on a positive note, kind of. Jets predictions?
That's what I was trying. That's literally what I was trying to do before. We ended up ending that on pretty good notes. I'm happy about that. I'm going to say 31-10 Bills. Bills are going to show no mercy.
I don't know. Can I just say big score, little score?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay. Okay, that's my prediction.
Yeah, I think I'm along lines with Doug. I think like 35-13, 14, I don't know. It's not going to be close. Even if something weird happens, this is not going to be, the Jets just aren't talented enough to keep up at all. It's just not.
For sure.
There. I mean, it's the Jets are still rebuilding. And
if it is close, then we got some things to talk about.
Yeah, well, next week will be a really fun episode. Halftime will be fucking a shit show if it's a close game.
Yeah.
And if you couple that with a Bengals loss and a Colts loss, we get to play either the Chargers or Raiders.
Stop. We're not talking about that shit scenario.
That's it. That's the only scenario that's possible. That's it.
No, we're playing. It's going to be New England.
It's either going to be the Colts or Patriots. I know. Just throwing that out there. But if it does happen, don't come crying to me.
Do we talk briefly about New England, or do we wait? If it's going to be New England,
we wait.
Okay.
I think next week's episode, once we see the actual matchups and the final seedings, that'll be very interesting to talk about, not just for the Bills, but the whole AFC, well, the whole playoff in general. All I know is if we're talking about the Raiders and whoever else, this podcast is over.
Well, I'm just muting Doug next time if that happens.
Wait, if I'm right?
If you're playing the Raiders, I'm muting fucking Doug.
Wait, why? Because I was right.
Because you were right.
If you're right, you get censored. No.
Exactly.
Wow. No comment on that.
All right, guys. I think that's it. I think we did. We turned into.
I want next week to at least be a half an hour, so I think we should just stop talking for content purposes.
No, this is we haven't put up an episode in a long time.
Hey, if anyone's still listening, if you like these hour episodes, let us know. If not, and you say half hour is enough for our idiocy, that's fine too. Just let us know you don't want us to keep talking.
Yeah, and hopefully we hit the head on with the mental health stuff too, because that is an important topic.
So very important.
I think that hopefully we did that some justice. I it's not a lot of people like talking about it. So, but yeah, if you like us, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at 71 Blitz.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Back of Your White Bronco. The side of Electric Avenue, in the tequila cabinet, anywhere you can listen to get your Premier Bills content.
Oh yeah, this train never stops, guys. By the way, I always forget to mention that, but the train never stops.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Nice, good talking to you.
Yeah. See you later, table breakers. Go Bills.
See you at halftime.
See ya.